The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. The word of the Lord.
Our Second Testament reading comes from the book of Romans, a letter from Paul to the church in Rome, starting at chapter 11, starting at verse 17. Let's listen to what God is saying to us today. "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree. How much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree?" The word of the Lord. Today we are looking at the third part of our five-part story, God Chooses a Family. Now, the idea of family can be complicated for many of us. For some, family is not a particularly inspiring or joyful word. But this family we'll be talking about today is more than genealogies and 23andMe. It is a chosen family. Our chosen family can have traditional family members in it, but it also includes the friends who are more committed to us than others. The ones who have stuck with us through hard times, that makes them appear more like family in our eyes after the struggle has been overcome. A regular friend is someone we like and hang out with. A normal friendship comes and goes. When times get hard, regular friends leave. But when you are part of a chosen family, there is a deeper committed to stay in the relationship through those hard times. Often there is a shared goal or ideal that supports the family. There is even an expectation that they will help each other become better people. When God puts together a family, this is the commitment it is founded on. They will stick together through the hard times and help each other be the best versions of themselves that they can. When God chooses this family, the context of the world is a mess. Humanity has wandered far from God. Sin has spread fast and taken hold of creation, a strong hold. God has tried many different ways to get through to humanity. In fact, by chapter 12 of Genesis, we're on plan E. Plan A was Eden, Adam and Eve. They messed that up with a quick snack. Plan B was not to restart the whole thing, but to let Adam and Eve live with their newfound knowledge. That ended up with a flood, and Noah starts off Plan C, which works for a while, but then humanity tries to invade heaven through a massive tower, and God has to send them to different corners of the earth to think about what they've done. Plan D. God's original plan hasn't essentially changed at all, just the implementation has been adjusted. The plan has always been to bless the whole world. The problem is that the channels through which God has given these blessings keeps getting gummed up with sin. So God gets to thinking again about another way to bring these blessings into the world. And this time the plan is a family, Plan E. God wants to start a family like none other, a family that will be an example to the rest of the world what it is like to live life with God. One group of people who God will lavish with blessings, who God can teach to dispense these blessings to others. God will bless this group, this family, so that the world sees very clearly the power and goodness that God has. This family will be a bright spot in the middle of a sin-stained world. They will learn from God how to spread their brightness just as far and fast as sin can travel. God will give the family a set of rules, the law, which will help this family know the best way to live, to be a blessing to others. You may wonder why God doesn't just remove sin from the earth and get us back to Eden. But after the flood, God is not so keen on removing things from the world anymore. There was a lot of loss in that flood that God will not take the effort to go back to. Sin has become so enmeshed in creation that it would be hard to clean it up without losing the things and the people that God loves. When sin came into the world, it didn't take a hold of 100% of some things and 0% of the other. We all have some sin in us, and we all have some goodness. To ask God to take sin out of the world like that, well, we saw in the Avengers movies that that doesn't work out so well. No, the solution has to be an antidote to counteract the effects of sin, even as sin lives on and at times thrives. The formula for this antidote is God's chosen family. God starts with Abraham and Sarah's family. It's small, just the two of them. They haven't been able to have kids yet, but God promises them that they will start a great nation and that their descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is an incredible blessing for God to give to anyone, but that's the plan. To bless the family so that it can spread blessings to the world. So it makes sense that God wants this family to grow. God goes to Abraham and establishes this relationship. The exact reason why God chooses Abraham over every other human in the world is not quite so clear, but it does have to do with how Abraham reacts when God asks him to do something. God asks Abraham to leave his home and go to somewhere new, and Abraham obeys. His willingness to trust God and to be a good partner in this new plan solidifies his place in God's family. Abraham's not perfect. He also has sin in him. He has moments where he distrusts that God will keep the promise to give him a son. But every time Abraham wanders, God reminds him of the promises and reaffirms that God will bless Abraham and his family so that the family can bless others. Abraham does have a son, and his family grows, and God's family grows. Now, because this family is so blessed, there are others who see them and want to be a part of that. And guess what? With a chosen family, you can be part of the family. That's the beauty of having the chosen piece in there. But it can also get a little bit ugly when the family members disagree on who should be welcomed into the family. This problem pops up in our New Testament reading. God's family is still going strong, even stronger since Jesus came down and did some special teaching and defeated death. The family plan is more or less working. But since Jesus, more and more outsiders want to become a part of this family. And some who were in the family have chosen to leave. There is a lot of confusion about who should be in and who should be out, especially in Rome. Paul writes to this church using a well-known practice of grafting one plant onto another to help save a crop. And he compares this practice to how God's family works. Olive farmers at the time would heavily cultivate their olive trees to produce the kind of fruit that they wanted. The flavors, the size, the color. They would breed the plants to produce the most ideal product. But after time, a highly cultivated plant would stop growing olives altogether. Plants produce fruit to survive. And when you have a farmer tending to your every need, a plant can lose its survival instinct. But wild plants are in a hyper-survival mode, and they put lots of energy into producing their fruit. So when a cultivated plant stopped producing fruit, a farmer would take a branch from the fruit that they wanted to get and graft it on to a wild olive trunk so that that energy would be given to the branch that was producing good fruit. And it would jumpstart fruit production. Paul compares this to God's family. If Gentiles want to join the family, they will not only be welcomed in, but they will be grafted into the main trunk of the tree and receive the same blessings as everyone else. And if a branch is no longer producing good fruit to bless the world, then that branch will be cut away to make room for another producing branch. Again, we see God's family receiving blessings through the trunk of the tree, but also being expected to bless others by bearing fruit. Paul warns those who are receiving God's blessings to not look down their noses on the other branches, and especially those who have fallen away. Instead, they should stay in awe of how God's family works, that those who were outside can become part of the family. He also reminds them that just because someone doesn't believe now doesn't mean they will be rejected later on. Even if a branch falls off, God can graft it back on at any time. And here is where I think God's family gets really compelling. Yes, we are blessed, but there are times when we don't feel particularly blessed. Being part of God's family does not keep us sheltered from all of the hard times. But if God's family works like an olive tree, it means we are allowed to have a bad season. When we aren't feeling the sun shining on our leaves, the branches around us are collecting the sunshine to produce nutrients for the whole tree. If I'm feeling wilted, I still get fed. I still can produce good fruit because of the nourishment of the trunk. There will be seasons when we feel like we are accepting more blessings than we are giving. But it takes two to make a blessing work, one to give the blessing and one to receive it. Yes, we all want to be the blessing giver, but that's not exactly how the system works. You also do your part in the family just as well when you are the recipient. If I am in a down season, that does not make me any less part of the family. What matters is a person's commitment to the call to be a blessing when the opportunity arises. And blessing others comes in a million different forms. A smile, letting someone in on the highway, playing with a child, or sitting and listening to a friend. These are all ways to be a blessing, and no one is greater than the other. We may feel short on blessings in this season, but can still offer these other things, smaller things, to others. And blessings are a funny thing. The more you give, the more you have. This week, Forbes had a piece about giving back as a good business model. Scott Moorhead is the co-author of a book called Build a Culture of Good: Unleash Results by Letting Your Employees Bring Their Soul to Work. In this book, Moorhead and his co-authors make a case for promoting philanthropy in the workplace. Moorhead is the CEO of his family business, and he started seeing that their employee turnover was skyrocketing. As he investigated, he discovered that most employees saw the place as a paycheck and hadn't developed a deep sense of loyalty to what their work was. Moorhead decided the solution would be to connect and give back to the community in which their employees lived. This culture of good, as Moorhead calls it, has caused their employee turnover to become less than half of what their peer corporations have. And it's bringing new customers to the cash register. The more you give, the more you have. It seems God was onto something when he was choosing a family that would live their lives to bless others. Not only does that work help others, but it helps us have a better personal sense of self and belonging. It feels good to belong to a family that is committed to creating a culture of good. A family that will help each member through the best and the worst times and to become the best version of themselves. God's family wants a culture of good to take over the world, and they work every day to make sure that ripple of blessing continues. The last few weeks, you've received a sticky note in your bulletins, and you've been asked to do different things with them, taking them home and creating a little place of remembrance in your house. I think it's pretty great that we're doing this now, because in Hong Kong, there are millions of these type of walls. They're called Lenin walls that are popping up around Hong Kong to help support the people and give words of encouragement through hard times. And so with your note today, I want you to do, you can do one of two things. One, you can take this note and think about how you want to be a blessing this week to someone else. And you can stick this somewhere where you can see it to remind yourself of that commitment. Or you can write some words of encouragement on this note and leave it for someone else, essentially turning this into a blessing for someone else. So during our offering and our next few songs, please take the time to think about how you want to be a blessing in the world and how you want to use this note.